when an angel of the Lord stood before the shepherds, the glory of the Lord shone around them. To you is born this day, they announced, in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Let us pray. Father of love, God of this holy night, be born anew to us this day, that beholding your glory, we may become bold to take up the witness you ask of us. We pray in the name of this holy child, Jesus. Amen. I know a couple from another interim congregation who took a summer cruise to Alaska. They added a side excursion in a small riverboat to an area near Fairbanks. Along the river, they saw a wide variety of houses made of the logs of black spruce trees that cover the hills and valleys around Fairbanks, from tiny shacks to luxurious-looking mansions. But one log structure on the banks of the river was about three times larger than any of its neighbors. Something else about that structure made it stand out from the others. On its north side was a huge glass window. Now remember, they were in Fairbanks, Alaska. In the winter months, the sun never rises and the winds blow off the Arctic. Temperatures drop to 30, 40, sometimes 50 degrees below zero. Even a quadruple-paned glass window like the one on that building does not fully insulate a structure against that kind of cold. Many on the tour were curious, almost to the point of irritation. Now, why would anyone put a glass window on the north side of a building or on the north side of a house? Well, it's not a house, answered their tour guide, at least not a regular house. It's a church. When the congregation decided to build a new structure, they built the church out of the logs of these hills. They purposefully installed that glass window facing north. The visitors were still perplexed. It doesn't make sense, they demanded, given how cold it gets here. Many people who watched the church going up said the same thing, the guide continued, smiling. There was a lot of gossiping about it going around this small town. You know how small towns can be. But the church's architectural plan became clear at its first worship service, which they held here on Christmas Eve 13 years ago tonight. At midnight, the congregation lowered the lights, and the wonder began. I'd like you to imagine it with me, if you could. You might even want to close your eyes. It's dark, like the dark of a night without a moon. Maybe you could let your mind's eye adjust to the darkness. Imagine yourself in that sanctuary. It's a room about the size of Grace and wider, like Grace is, than it is deep, seating about 200 people. Their building is made of Alaskan black spruce log walls, the wood of their hills. It also has wood floors and pews. There's still a scent of pine and spruce, the wood in the building. Out of the corner of your eyes, you see that people's candles begin to be lit, as we will do in just a bit, until the whole sanctuary is a sea of candlelight. Instead of that wall up front like we have here, there's that window, and their seating is a bit more of a U, facing the window. In the shadows now, because of the darkness, forward and up high, because they can't have a cross up front, they have a rough-hewn wooden cross of Jesus near the top of the ceiling at the center, and you see it against the backdrop of the window. Then suddenly, almost on cue, as the congregation begins to sing, there appears in that window the aurora borealis, with its hues of blues, greens, and yellows, dancing against the sky. Then Jesus inside, appearing on silhouette against the blazing glory of the sky as they sing, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Peak viewing season for the Northern Lights is in the dead of winter, when the weather is at its coldest and when it is darkest. Some things we will not see until it is dark, nor experience until we take some risks we would ordinarily not be willing to take. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. My faith was formed on Christmas Eve. Oh, surely at other times too, but it is Christmas Eve that marked me first and most deeply. As part of a pilgrimage to Israel in 2008, with other participants, I was asked to reflect on my spiritual autobiography. No one had ever asked me to do that before. Not in that way, not even in seminary where people are formed into pastors, where you might think that things like that happen. Reflecting on our spiritual histories might be something we could do together, perhaps as part of a congregational retreat. For when we look for the ways that God has been present to us, leading us, sustaining us, supporting us, in the midst of busy or challenging lives, we notice things that we had forgotten, and the well is often deep. The first memory that came to me as I ponder the people and events that have shaped my life of faith was on Christmas Eve in Johnstown at my grandparents' church. The whole family on my father's side was part of the congregation, each of us holding a candle for the reading of the gospel and singing Silent Night. Little candles across the sanctuary standing against the dark. I could not name it then. It was the presence of God's Holy Spirit there that I was conscious of for the first time, lifting me up and drawing me to faith. I felt myself held and knew myself beloved. I could not name God then, not for myself. But later when I could, I saw God first in Jesus, the one longed for across the ages, Messiah, the one I now know also as light that the darkness cannot overcome. For see, behold, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord. To you. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is a night of spiritual power and light. They come to us in the midst of the cold and the darkness. Tonight, not so much cold, but it is not so far away. And not just the kind caused by the winter and the night, but by the violence, difficulties, divisions, and injustice of our world, and sometimes also of our lives. It is in the darkness and the cold that the wonder of the warmth of life lived together in community, amidst the radiance of candles held together, becomes so clear. In the darkness and the cold, that the wonder of seeing the power and strength of God in the vulnerability of a baby is so astounding. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Behind ridiculous, fragile, breakable glass in the Arctic, and before us, but meant as a source of power and strength for all that faces us in the cold and in the dark. That church's north-facing window reminds me of Grace's windows over there. I know I have a very good view of them from where I stand here. I know also that first, when you look out the windows, you see a parking lot. But if you look sort of above the parking lot, our eyes are drawn to the natural world, to the glories of grasses and trees and of the seasons turning with them, even as we worship. Yes, I know, our minds are not always on exactly what is going on minute by minute here, but sometimes, and it is a good thing, that our minds are drawn also to other things that are going on. Under the shelter of God's arms, we see the earth from which we come and the world to which we are called when we leave this place of care and feeding in worship and with each other. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." There is grace and invitation in this night. Notice the glory, even if it is momentary. Bank on its power. Live with it. And carry it with you for all that faces you out in the cold and in the dark. Amen.